Good morning on this Mother's Day. Good morning to all the moms all across the congregation here. Blessings to y'all. Good morning. It's good to see y'all. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about manifesting the presence of God, being the manifested presence. We talked about how the Lord Christ came to manifest the Father to us, to share what He was like, to share His image, to share and show us who He really is. Because, see, His Word came that we would begin to understand a little bit about who He is, but Christ came as an actual physical manifestation of the image of God. We talked about how Christ, when He began to do that, how what that looked like was that He began moving others into relationship with the Father. How He took these 12 men and began to show them the Father's nature in such a way that when He left, they were able to step into it and continue on in what had now become the family business. Because see, what God is about is manifesting family. To make you a part of His family. To make you someone who is in a deep relationship with Him so that you can become one who is a carrier of this relationship and begin to extend that relationship to another. Because as we do so, we make the actual image of who God is evident to a world that so needs Him. To manifest means this. It means to make actual and visible. To realize it. And see, we were talking about this in respect to the name. Because see, we look at the name as maybe some little magic formula we say at the very end of our prayer because that'll make it all good. But see, the name is more than that. The name is the image of God. The name is the representation of who God is to us and to those that we minister to. And when we come into alignment with the trueness of who God is, then that alignment with it is the actual thing that works to make it different. To make a difference in our life, to make a difference in the situation that we're praying for, to make a difference in our circumstance around us. And we saw how He began to impart the understanding of this image of the Father to make an impact in the world around Him. So we impart to impact. If you want to move somebody, if you want to move somebody, if you want to truly change them and truly benefit them, then you're going to impart to impact. The interesting thing is to do this, Christ needed a source of His power. And I've discovered the source of His power, the source of His authority. Now I got your interest. Because see, that same source is available to you. Let's turn here to Luke 4 and just see a demonstration of His authority and power. See, in Luke 4, you see many things. In Luke 4, it starts out with the temptation in the wilderness and how He comes out of the temptation in the wilderness and He begins to walk in the power and authority. It says in verse 14, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread throughout all the surrounding district." And then we see that He begins to proclaim the day of the Lord. He stands up in a service and says, "This is the day of the Lord." He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release to the captives and the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And He goes on in verse 21 to say, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Then they began to wonder, what's going on with this young man? Because isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the boy that we've watched grown up? And all were speaking well of him. They were wondering at his gracious words, verse 22, and they were falling from his lips. They were wondering about who he was. Verse 25, he says, "But I say to you in truth, there are many widows here in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came upon all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, but none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." What is he showing them? He's showing them that his authority with them was present, but they had to begin to hear. This is not the purpose of what we're going here this morning, only to bring us to this point here. "And in all," verse 28, "and all the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things," because they realized they were being spoken about them and about the unbelief that they were entering into because they were familiar with him. "So they were filled with rage and they rose up," verse 29, "and cast him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff." Now there's an exciting moment. Verse 30, "But passing through their midst, he went on his way." Passing through their midst, it went on his way. John 8 goes on and tells us of another time when the same sort of thing is the crowd gathered to stone him as he was teaching in the temple and he just walked through them. How is such a power available? We don't know, and the Word does not tell us how he manifested this, whether he just physically disappeared and walked through them, or he walked through them and they didn't recognize him, or just exactly what happened. But it's evident the great power was exerted in the circumstance because it was not yet his time to be delivered up. It was not yet his moment. And so therefore, the Spirit of God hid him one way or another. Let's look here at Psalm 31. It'll give us exactly what's going on here. Verse 19. "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast stored up for those who fear thee, who thou hast wrought for those who take refuge in thee, or trust in thee, before the sons of men. Thou dost hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the conspiracies of man." Thou dost hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the conspiracies of man. Thou dost keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. What we saw here was a manifestation of what had already been promised. He was hiding him in the secret place because he chose to come into the place with the Father. He chose to place himself totally and completely in the Father's hand. And he trusted in the Father for his deliverance. He didn't trust in his own abilities. He didn't trust in his own mechanics. He didn't trust in his own good looks. He didn't trust in all those other things that we tend to trust in. He trusted in the Father and placed himself totally and completely in his hand. This is why he was able to look at Pontius Pilate and say, "If the Lord hadn't given you authority, you'd have none here." Because the same Jesus that knew how to walk through the crowd and not get stoned certainly knew how to walk away from one man without getting caught. But he placed himself in the purpose of the Father. He yielded himself and surrendered himself to the purpose of the Father for that moment. Because it was not his time, he passed through. You have to realize it's the choice and the trust represented in it that released the manifestation. God has given us a great power for choice. And you're going to see even more of that in just a moment. But see, the presence released in the earthly realm. The presence was released in the earthly realm because he made a choice to submit himself to the Father. Let me unmask something a little further for you. Go to Mark chapter 3. Verse 14. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that they might send him out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. And to have authority to cast out demons. That word authority is the word exousia. That they might have authority to cast out demons. It's almost always rendered as the word power. But here's what it actually means. It's the power of choice. It's the power of choice. It's the liberty of doing as one pleases. So what he's saying here is that he gave them the power of choice. He gave them the liberty to do as they chose with the devil. Now, is that a key to operating in power? To realize the choice has been given to us. To realize the choice is in our hand because we're submitting ourselves into his hand. When we allow the Lord to be the covering over us, then that power and authority that rests in him rests in us. But it's a choice. Exousia also means the power of authority or influence and the right or the privilege, the power of rule or government. See, we would associate these things. He said he gave them that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out sickness and cast out disease, those sort of things. We would associate those things as manifesting the kingdom of God, as manifesting the purpose of God. But he's making here that power clear that that power comes from their choice to enter into it. That's why our choice has always been so important to the Lord. See, in the garden, he gave Adam a choice. He didn't have to do what he chose to do. That the Lord would not take that free will choice from him. That free will choice was so important to God that he allowed Adam to fall. He allowed him to enter into that, even though he could have said no. But he realized that without that, there is no choice. Let's go look at Ephesians. It's another example of this word. Ephesians 6. So exousia is the power of choice, the liberty of doing as one pleases. In verse 12 here in chapter 6 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. It's against the exousia. When he's saying powers there, he's saying exousia. It's against the power of choice. It's against our liberty to do what we choose to do. The thing that we struggle with the most is our own desires. Manifesting the presence of God is very different than manifesting the presence of Chuck. Or manifesting the presence of anyone else in here. See, if it's all about me, there's not very much God gets seen in this process. That's the thing that he's trying to differentiate for us here. Because if we'll enter into the abiding with him, if we'll enter into this desire to manifest who he is, then our choice becomes simple. Our choice becomes to enter into what God has. to enter into His presence and enter into not only His presence, but enter into His will for our life. The surrender of the will is the thing that separated Christ from us. Because, see, He surrendered to the will of the Father perfectly. When He surrendered to the will of the Father perfectly, He left a pattern for us to be able to follow. Because He surrendered perfectly and totally to the will of the Father, He was able to manifest the presence of the Father like no one else has been able to do. Because it was no longer about just Him. It was about what is the Father's will for this moment. What is the Father's will that can be manifested through me in this moment? See, more important than the schemes of the devil is the issues of our own flesh, our own desires. And see, that's what the Lord is looking for us to come to a place where we can begin to see and to know the presence of God so much that we choose to manifest something besides that. We choose to look to God and say, what is it You would have me to do here? Oftentimes, we're one choice away from the presence of the Lord. One choice. We can choose to enter into His presence. We can choose to enter into a relationship with Him. When we look back on it, basically the results of our life are dependent on the level of choices we have made. What our life looks like today is the result of the choices we've made along the way. For good or for bad. Oh me or oh my. Those choices have added up to the sum of where we are at. But see, it's our ability to choose that's precious in the sight of the Lord. The Ruth talked about the atmospheric thieves, the things that come to steal you away from the presence of God. Things that come to steal and block you from entering in to God's best and entering into God's presence. Well, atmospheric thieves are not just external things. They're also the desires of our heart. You know, when we're faced with a world with lots of stuff in it, and oftentimes the flesh wants what the flesh wants. You know, I don't want to go to bed. I want to stay up and eat ice cream. Like gallons of it at a time. The flesh wants what the flesh wants. And so we have a choice in those moments. And in those moments, we can make a choice that makes a difference. There are things that are more important than ice cream at midnight, but... So there's a thing that we have to look at, but we have to recognize. In those moments, our transparency before the Lord is the greatest gift that we can give Him. Our willing to be yielded to Him. Our willingness to lay down our own personal desire in order to follow after what He has shown us. Sometimes we can make those choices consciously, and sometimes we make those choices not consciously. Meaning this, the reason that I do sozo, there's a passion for those things in my heart, is because one person that I knew that needed ministry. But I knew there was nothing that I could see on the horizon that was able to touch the things that were going on for this person. And so there began to rise a cry in my heart to search out those things that could make a difference. Those things that went beyond the standard Christian counseling, that went beyond the standard psychiatry that's available in most places. The things that went somewhere that actually began to make a difference in the soul and in the spirit of the individual. And because of that, that was a choice that led me down several other choices that take me to where I am today. I can remember when, as I was crying and I was praying out, and I was crying out to the Lord to help this individual, that there was a book that was put into my possession, and it was wrapped in cellophane. And I got to the point where nothing was really working. In other words, I was trying to press into God, but nothing was really working. And I finally just picked that book up. And as I ripped the cellophane off the book that opened up what I do now, I can remember the power of the Lord just sat on me so hard that I probably cried for 20 or 30 minutes just taking the cellophane off the paper, off the book. God knew the choice that was being entered into in that moment, even though I did not have a conscious understanding that this was a choice, not just for a moment, not just for a moment's worth of reading of 300 and some pages, but it was a choice that was being made to enter into the ministry that the Lord had set aside for me. But what was I looking for? I was looking for the will of the Father. I was looking for the will of the Father, and that's why this thing happened the way that it did. Because, see, He had a will for me to enter into these things, even though I didn't know that they existed. Later on, as a result of reading that and then beginning to implement those things that I read about, because I didn't know people didn't do that, I didn't know that people got training for weeks and months and stuff to do this thing. I just read the book and started doing it. And so then I began to seek out, and I heard of somebody who was doing those things in another place. And so I would drive from the Galleria once a week. I would drive from the Galleria down to Hobby Airport and then sit with somebody for an hour and observe them doing these things. And eventually began to enter in doing those things and then drive for an hour back. And I would do that for my lunch. I'm sorry, it was 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back. It was an hour total. But I never stopped to think that people don't do this. But there were a series of choices being made. There was a series of choices that were being put in front of me. And all the whole while, my cry was simply, "This Lord, how do I help this person? How do I help this person? Lord, what do I got to do in me? What do I got to change in me that I can reach this person?" Power of choice. The more vulnerable we can be with God, the more yielded we can be with Him, the more He can do through you. But you have to realize every yielding that we do is a choice. We don't have to. He doesn't require it of us. He's going to love us whether we do or we don't. He's already got an understanding of who you are, and He's already looking and loving and cherishing you just because you're you. Not because you entered into some performance-driven thing, but because you're you. Because He desired to have a relationship with you before you were ever even born. And He looked out through the aeons and as He was on the cross, and He said, "Here, I see Betty. Let me draw her near to me." He wants to do those things, because as He does those things, then that's the whole idea of what He's trying to do, is have a relationship with us. But that's why it pleases Him so much, when we'll allow our heart to be aligned with His heart. When we'll allow our heart to be aligned and we'll enter into the thing that He puts in front of us. And sometimes those things are really bright and shiny, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes the thing He's putting in front of you is for you to forgive your neighbor. Sometimes the thing He's putting in front of you is for you to forgive AT&T. I had to learn that one this week, because I wasted the whole afternoon doing something that didn't need to be done. But see, there's a place in God that's available when we'll enter in to do His will. And it really doesn't matter whether an offense is against a person or it's against a corporation. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. And that's not maybe the most shiny thing to do. When somebody's hurt and offended you and God says, send them a present. Yeah, Lord, I'll send them a present. I'll send them a brick. What was it? Joyce Myers was saying something about sending him a copy of her book that on how to get free. Yeah. One of those little presents that says, here, fix yourself. It's not always easy to enter into the thing that the Lord is wanting you to get to enter into. But I can tell you that on the back side of that, there's always joy released. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And it will always be the result of walking with the Lord. When we walk with Him, as we begin to behold Him, and as we do the things that we're asked to do, then there's a response that comes out of heaven. And that response will be righteousness, peace, and joy rising up within us. I guess this is a good place as any, because Alan Taylor said this. He's a guy, one of the guys up there in Tulsa. He said, righteousness is God's gift to man. But holiness is our gift to God. You see, righteousness comes to us as a gift. Holiness is something we have to enter into by choice. We choose whether or not we're going to walk with Him. We choose whether or not we're going to let go of this sin and grab a hold of the righteousness we've been given. For righteousness is the gift of God. The holiness is man's gift to God. Sometimes we enter into those defining moments and we know that they're the defining moment even at that second. When you got saved, you entered into probably the most defining moment. But it's not something that you do lightly. At least certainly it wasn't something that I did lightly. I did it because I ran out of other options. I did it because at that moment, there was such a power and authority on me that I didn't understand. When that conviction rises up within us, there's something that happens within us and it allows us to have the ability to make that choice. Because see, with conviction, with true conviction, there's a grace that comes to get it and see it through. That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation is of the enemy and condemnation ends in death. But true conviction will have a grace. It will carry a grace with it that allows you to come and see it into manifestation. It was a defining moment when I stood outside the door of a home of a gentleman who was a prophet who would begin to teach me the things of God. But as I stood there at that door, I knew it was a defining moment. Why did I know it was a defining moment? Because everything within me was fighting me, telling me to leave. It took me 10 minutes at least, standing outside that door, just to knock on it. Because of the struggle that was going on in my soul. Because see, certain parts of my soul knew what was going to happen. That I was going to get exposed to things they didn't want me to be exposed to. But that little tiny flame of that I just had from being born again was trying to lead me in a new direction. But I had to make a choice. The same as you had to make a choice when you began to accept and decide, what am I going to do with this Spirit of God that's within me? Sometimes we can make those defining moments when everything seems to be against us. When everything about our heart and our emotions is stirred up and wants to do something else. And God says, here's your path, walk in it. We had a situation a number of years ago where there's a whole lot of breaking apart. And in that situation, my flesh wanted to just run away. Everything about my flesh wanted to just run. But I said, I'm going to sit down for 3 days. And I'm going to hear the voice of the Lord. And when I sat down for those 3 days, the Lord said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to stay. And you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And I said, but Lord, but I don't want to. Because I didn't. I was being honest. But he said, stay. And I stayed. And it opened up a whole new category of things. And it opened up a whole new understanding. And it opened up a whole new walk into ministry. It opened up a whole new nature of relationship for many people that I know. There are people here today that probably wouldn't have the relationship that they have with me now if I hadn't opened up and allowed, let God say, just stay. There's a plan and a purpose for what God has you to do. And it goes beyond our emotions. It goes beyond our natural inclinations. When we begin to seek it out, one of the things that happens is He'll show us how to do this, that, how to sit and stay. You can't enter into the presence and you can't enter into the purpose of God till you understand what His indication is. To sit and be still. Finding the actual will of God, finding that purpose and making the choice is initiated when we make a choice to sit and be still and to know God. Psalm 46 and 10 tells us to be still and know that I am God. When we'll sit and park it until we understand. That's some reason for us human beings that is the hardest thing in the world. For some people, it's a real hard thing. But if we'll sit and be still until we hear His voice. Now, the Lord's always speaking to us. He's always speaking to us. But the thing that is difficult is most of the time we aren't slowing down enough. We aren't getting stopped enough to know what that voice was. One of the greatest choices that I made was not a choice that I entered into on purpose, but simply out of an obedience. Because that same prophet came to my house after a number of months because, see, I lived on what I call the OP anointing, other people's. I would go to every meeting that was in town. If there was a meeting, I was there. And God was moving in my life in some remarkable ways during that period of time. But see, there's only so much you can do on other people's anointing. Because you have to be next to the other people for that anointing to be there. You have to be constantly going from one place to the next, to the next, to the next, to stay in the anointing. But He came to my house and He said, sit. And I said, but, He said, sit. Exactly. And I was like, I wanted to argue, but I realized at this moment with Him, there was no argument. So I escorted Him to the door. The meeting was adjourned. Because I wasn't real happy with this meeting. Because I goes, why would you take me away from what I'm getting pleasure from? Why would you take me away from what feels so good for my soul that's been so ravaged for so many years? But what He was teaching me. Because what He said, not only sit, but then to be pay attention to the Lord. Not only sit, but begin to not just work on other people's anointing, but to begin gain an anointing for yourself. Sit, not only to just to be still, but also to begin to hear the voice of God for yourself. I tell you, that choice to obey, not because I wanted to, but because I honored this person. I realized that they had a lot more years than I had, a lot more wisdom than I had. And I wanted to honor them. And so I did it. And I'm to the point now, I can have the presence of God where I want to. I can carry the presence of God. And when I go to a conference on the few occasions that I go, I find that most of the time they don't add to me. It's no longer something that I have to go to get someone else. I can go to God and get the anointing. But you don't learn that in a moment. You learn that through a series of choices. See, we get used to approaching and seeing Jesus as our door. And our door to go into the presence of the Father. And He is that. But we also have to recognize that this door is more than one way, because Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you let me in, I will sup with you. I will commune with you." The door is two-way. We have to realize that there's a door in our heart that we have to engage, and it's a choice whether or not if we're standing, we can be standing in the presence of God, but if we don't enter into that presence with Him, if we don't allow Him to have entrance into us, it doesn't help you. It's only when we invite Him in and we say, "Lord, whatever you see, I want you to speak. Lord, whatever you're doing, whatever you see and hear, whatever you want to do and hear, I want to give you access. Do I need to forgive AT&T? Okay, I'll go forgive AT&T. You want me to give them a present? Okay, I'll give them a present. You want me to walk with them? Okay, I'll go walk with that person. Whatever it is He's telling you to do, it's going to happen because you chose to open the door within yourself. When people come into this room over here, and I sit down to minister with them, I tell them it's about your choice. Because see, when the Holy Spirit's there and when the Holy Spirit's ministering, the Holy Spirit's not going to override our choice. But what I can do is be a vessel for you to allow those choices to come and allow Him to minister through your choice. If you go to John 1, good news happens. Good things happen when we begin to align our choice with the Lord's choice. When we align our will with His will. Because see, the power of God begins to work on your behalf. Verse 12, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe upon His name." We can read it this way, "But as many as received Him," because this word "right" is the same word for exousia. "But as many as received Him, He gave them the choice, the power of choice, to become children of God." He gave them the power of choice to become the children of God. He gave them the liberty to do as they pleased about becoming the children of God. The choice has been placed in our hands. The choice has been placed in our hands. He already made His choice for you. The power that we seek, it's made available in our ability to surrender to Him. The power we seek to operate in, to cast out devils and heal the sick and see the lame walk, is available in the surrendering to His choice. Colossians 3, real familiar scripture by now, says this: if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, verse 1, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now when the angry mob comes out seeking you, here's your confession. My life is hidden with Christ. And you walk through the congregation. Walk through the angry mob. My life is hidden with Christ. You see, there's something that happens, see, when we allow this understanding to manifest His image, when we're desiring to manifest His image, when we're desiring to do the things that God is asking us to do more than anything else, there's something that happens here. Verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. There's a revelation of glory. The yielding of your choice is what will bring a revelation of His glory into your life. It brings a revelation of His glory into the present, into the now, for you, with you. It's this revelation that begins to stir who God is in us. It's this revelation of who God is that releases the grace that goes before us. 1 Peter 1 and like verse 13 tells us that when the knowledge of God is revealed, there's a grace that comes with it that is released on your behalf. There's a releasing of the grace that happens because, and when that grace is released, then there's the glory of God is the result. A manifestation of the sons of God is a result. A manifestation of the power of God is a result. A manifestation of the image of the Father is a result. Because you chose to align your choice with His choice. Back up to Colossians 2, verse 10. And in Him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. He is the head over all rule and choice. He's the head over all power of choice. He is the head over all the liberty of doing as one pleases. When we make Him the head and no longer the tail, we've suddenly have changed jurisdictions. When we make Him the head and no longer the tail, we suddenly have stepped into His presence in such a way that the manifested power of God, it can be released. Because we choose to walk with Him. We choose to come underneath His covering. When we make Him the head, that's saying that I want to be His body and that I want to walk with Him. Understanding is simply this, to stand under what you know. To stand under the Word that you have hidden in your heart. To come into alignment with that which has been already spoken to you. So the Lord is speaking to you and saying, you're going to the nations and you've got to come into alignment with that Word until it comes to manifest. I knew a lady and she was kind of a homebody sort. And there was, she received a word and said, you're going to minister in Africa. And she would say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. But then after a while, a number of years go by, and she's now in a different church body, and the lady of the church, the first lady of the church, is from Africa. And they do a mission there. And while she didn't go on the mission, she prepared all the packets for that mission. Everything that was put in, all the medical and, all the natural physical things that were going to be released and given away for that mission, she prepared. She ministered in Africa, just as the Lord said, because she had made a choice to stand under the Word that was given. The yielding of our choice will reveal His victory, reveals His glory. In Revelations 20:22, you know, at the very back of the book here, there's one more thing that gets revealed. Verse 14, one of the final things. Blessed are those who wash the robes that they might have the right to the tree of life and might enter by the gates into the city. Blessed are those that they might have the right. That word right is the same word. It's exousia, the power of choice, the liberty of doing as you please. You have the ability to do as you please with the tree of life. Because His power has been given to you. You have the power of choice to choose life. You have the power of choice to choose to operate in the tree of life. To operate in conjunction with this tree of life. And because of that, you may enter into the garden when you make that choice. You enter the garden with Him. You enter by the gates into the garden. You enter into His presence. You enter into His fullness. He's been trying to release for you. A relationship that He's been trying to release for you. Deuteronomy says this, "Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life." Our choice is what brings us into His presence. It's our choice that brings us into the fullness of God. It's our choice and our willingness to open up and just be transparent before Him. When we're willing to be transparent before Him, there's absolutely nothing in this world that we have to fear. When we get transparent enough before God, suddenly our choices become much simpler. A friend of ours, Rocky, first got saved. He was continued doing what he'd always been doing. He just decided he would do it for the Lord instead of for a personal gain. And so he was running drugs on his boat. And he got stopped. And he got hauled in. And as he was standing there, the guy, and he was speaking to him and speaking to him about the Lord. And the guy said, "Be quiet." And he kept speaking to him about the Lord. And he said, "Be quiet." And he kept speaking to him about the Lord. And the guy pulls the gun out and puts it up to his chest. And he just says, "Hallelujah, I'm about to go home." The guy was so freaked out that he threw the gun down and left the room. We have nothing to fear when we're totally committed to Christ. When we're totally committed to lined up with our choice into who He is. Amen? Amen. By the way, I don't recommend running drugs for God. This is a little sub note, okay? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that those bales were medicinal. He realizes now that he had a few things to learn yet. You got to admire his enthusiasm. Hallelujah.